Okay, good evening. Tana Rabbanan, Harushim Hayu Krashim Chalvim Hayu Adonim. So essentially what you have here is a description of the way that the Beit HaMikdash was built. The Harushim, they were whittled away. So essentially what you had was that the pegs at the bottom of the Krashim were the walls, were the beams. And underneath them, they would get stuck into the Adanim. So the Krashim, essentially, I mean, we've all seen them in pictures now, but essentially they would wind up with, they'd have like little socket spaces. Those socket spaces were not directly next to each other, otherwise you'd have a problem putting them into the Adanim. They're each whittled with room around, all around. So they were essentially the center of the beam. Picture it like this. If you picture it like this, then imagine the Harutzim coming out of this middle area, leaving space all around it. Although this is indented, but imagine it coming out, and this way it could fit in, but then the next one could be right next to it as well, because the holes would have space in it. Essentially, it's like what shows up at the end of every picture. That you see in the Chumash. Venirim krasim belulaot kechochavim brakia. And this is a nice idea that essentially, you learned a little bit about the yiriyot that were pulled over the top of the Mishkan. So what happened was there were holes to put the lulaot in. Those were like the eye and hooks that they would attach the amudim, they would attach the krashim, the blankets to the krashim, and there were little holes in them. So essentially you were able to see through the holes, and you would see through the bluish color, you would see the gold of the krashim, and they said it would look like stars that were in the sky. It had a nice kind of hole effect, and you would see the gold kind of shining through.
The golds
were from the Krashim. The Krashim were plated with gold. Is that right? They were wood plated with gold. I think so. Tana Rabbanan. Yiriyot ha'tachtonot shel b'cherev shel agamam shel talav shani v'shel sheish. So the underneath blankets or covers or tent was made out of blue or sky blue and purple, and shani is scarlet. And shalshesh and linen, the ones on the top, shalmaase ezin, they were made out of wool. The gedola chokma shenemra belyonah yotem mima shenemra v'tachtonah. It took more skill to do the woolen ones than it took to do the cloth ones. The ilu b'tachtonah, or the silk ones, or the linen ones. The ilu b'tachtonah k'tiv, it says tzevichol isha chokmat leiv biyadeha tavu. So essentially, every woman with the wisdom of her heart or of her mind, that is with us artisanship, she would weave. The ilu be'elyonaktiv b'chol anashim asher nasa liban otana b'chachma, that raised their hearts for themselves in wisdom. So as you can see, it's more majestic language. Tavu et ha'izim, and they would stitch or they would weave the goat skins. And as you can see, the language is simply more royal, perhaps, and therefore it indicates a greater level of skill. And there's an interesting idea, Tani Mishum Rav Chemya, Shatuf Be'izim, Tavu Mina'izim. It's very interesting. They would have to wash the goats while the hair was on the goats, and they stitched, they wove the goat's hair before they sheared it off, because apparently it was a better quality if they would weave it while it was still attached. I don't know much about it, weaving, but that's it. Steg gzuzta out. This is going back to the Mishnah. Two balconies, if you will. Two balconies. Amar Rav Mishum Rav Chia, Agalot tachtehon ubeneim chidehem Rav Shina Rav. Now, if you remember, the whole question was, are you allowed to pass back and forth between the balconies? So it depends. If you're on the opposite sides, no, because it's not that how they did in the Mishkan, but if you're on the same side, that was how they did in the Mishkan, but not throwing. None of the Gemara really has to do with that, by the way. The Gemara is just interested now, since we mentioned that it was really part of the way it was done in the Mishkan, we're just curious what those wagons look like that made these little floating Rashut HaYachids that they used to pass the beams back and forth amongst them. It's really just a technical Gemara. So you have to know that the agalot underneath them, which means underneath the wheels, uveinehem, and between them, v'tzideihem, which means the wheel space on the sides, are considered Rashut HaRabim. Amra bayi ben agala la agala kimalei orech agala. So they used to ride the agalot two by two, and there was the same distance between the agalot was the same as the length of the agalot, not the width of the agalot, but the length of the agalot. V'chama orech hagalah, so how much, how wide was it? Hey amot, it was 5 amot. The Gemara says, lamali, b'dalad upag dashagi. What do I need it to be, good evening, what do I need it to be 5 amot long? 4.5 would be good, for a very simple reason, because the krashim, now here's the interesting idea. Good evening, hey, how are you? Welcome. Here's how it worked. I'm going to have to draw this out a little bit. Here were the wagons. The wagons were 5 amot long. The krashim were each an amma and a half. They were like a 2x4, but not a 2x4. It was 1.5x1. So they were held. I'm sorry, it's not really long enough. It's not really long enough. I need like a long piece of paper. I wish I had my tie. Oh, you know what? Maybe I could do this. Yeah, I could do it here like this. The wagons were 5 long. Oh, yeah, that's good. They were 5 long, by, actually, we're going to find out 2.5 wide. This was a keresh. It was 10 amot long, a little bit wider, actually, on both sides. So if this was 1.5 in width, when I laid it down, then if I have 3 of them, all I need then is 4.5 amot. 1.5, 3. 4.5. What do I need the extra? Oh, it works out pretty well, actually. What do I need the extra 0.5 amot for? If I'm going to lay the krashim, that's the, talk about the Mishkan, the walls of the Mishkan, if I'm laying them on the side, what does an angala have to be 5 amot for? 4.5 will do. And Rashi points out, by the way, what's interesting is, what if you wanted them this way? Now, this way, they're 1 amot. So I could put on 5. So you couldn't put on 5 because there's a little hinge space on the corner. There's a little protrusion. So you can still only put on 4 in a 5 amot space. In fact, you don't need 5 amot. It was essentially 1 plus a little. That would give you about 4.5. You still don't need 5. So the question is, why were the agalot 5 in 5 amot length if you just didn't need 5 amot to put on 3 krashim?
When you put them on the 1.5.
Yeah, but on their backs.
Yeah, but you have the hook.
No, but then you don't. The lulaot, my guess is that they were sticking out this way. Those were the hinges. The lulaot was probably sticking out this way. Here they were exactly what you need, exactly 1.5. But then the question is, so why not? So what do you need 5 for? It's an extra 0.5 amo, like to save space. So that's a very, it's like a carpenter's gemara. It's like, you know, it's very, you know, it's a very strange thing. Of course, they're trying to reenact the Masorah of what the Mishkan was like, which is a very nice thing. But it really is a little bit like a carpenter's gemara. It's not a very complicated gemara. So the gemara says, kehechi delo litchaku krashim, because you don't want them pushing one against the other, which means you need a little space. I think that's the simple explanation for it. So I don't know why the Gemara didn't know that. I guess the Gemara assumed that it was side by side, and then they said, no, it's not
why
like that.
Not?
Yeah. Why?
Why not?
Yeah, I don't know if this is so deep. I'm not sure exactly what to make out of this Gemara. So Amar Rav, Tzidi Agala Kimale Rochav Agala. So the sides, which is the wheel space. So if this is the Agala, so this was the wheel space on both sides. So what they said was, the Tzidi Agala Kimale Rochav Agala, which means this side plus this side was exactly the width of the Agala. Okay, we'll find out how much it is. 2.5. So essentially, you had 2.5 this way, and then 1.25 wheel space, and 1.25 wheel space. The Gemara says, "Lamali ba'amta b'palga shagi." All I need is amen and a half. That is, keep in mind that the boards are extended this way. So what do I need it to be so wide for? I could have thinned out the whole thing. So the Gemara says, "Kehechi de lo lead to do crushing," because you don't want them to topple over. It's a very, it's like a carpenter school. Because if it's too thin, I mean, you can imagine it, right? Let's say this was the size of the agala. So you have so much hangover on both sides. The agalas are constantly, like, leaning over. This way, with the 10-amot agala, I guess they figured that 2.5 amot would give you enough balance space in between. Okay, fine. So Ella, the Kaimelon, Derek, Rashid, Arabim, Shesh, so now I got a question for you. So Ella, the Kaimelon, Derek, Rashid, Arabim, Shesh, Shayama. We learned that Rashid, Arabim is 16 amot wide. If it's less than 16 amot wide, it's not Rashid, Arabim, which causes all kinds of problems with, you know, roads and highways and stuff like that, but let's avoid those issues. So Anan Degamina Levi Mishkan LeMishkan, but we learned that from one Mishkan to Mishkan, now we're not talking about two Mishkans, we're talking about two Agalot that carried the Mishkan, Chamishisrei Havi, there's only 15. Why? Because what it was is, if you had 1.5 amot of space, you had 1.25 here, this Agala, you had 1.25 here, and then you would have another 2.5 in between. So essentially, from one Agala to another Agala, you had 15. Now that's not exact. That doesn't include the outside. That does not include the hangover from the boards, but let's leave that on the side. Let's just assume that we could calculate a distance from one wheels of one agala to the second agala that's paired with it, that is the right wheels of the right-hand agala to the left wheels of the left-hand agala. It's exactly 15 amot. So where do we get 16 amot for? Obviously the roads were only 15 amot. Again, as I mentioned, there was... How is it 15? So I got each agala is 5. and I got five in between.
Well, you have the space.
That's what they, why? Because you need the space. The krashim are hanging over. We have to calculate each krashim, if it's placed exactly in the middle, is 10 amot, so minus the 2.5 amot, and then you've got the wheels and you got the hangover. So it comes out to 5 in between. So you got 15. That doesn't include, by the way, the hangover to the right and the left, by the way. But I assume that went off the road, so it just wasn't calculated because it was, I think the answer is that it was above 10 tefachim, so it may not have been really been considered Rosh Rabim. It's hard to say. But the bottom line is, from the right wheels of the right one to the left wheels of the left one, it was exactly 15. So if it's 15, where do we get the 6 amot? 16 amot was the road that was used in the Mishkan. So the answer is... No, the beams went exactly there. No, you don't go the outside beams. That would get you to 20. No, you can't go there.
No. You have the wheel.
Here, let's do it. Hold on a second. I got my two agalot.
The wheel is 1.25.
I got my 1.25 on both sides,
right,
which means each one is exactly 5. And the space in between them was exactly 5, because I had a hangover of 1.25 plus 2.5 space, empty space, and 1.25 plus 2.5 empty space. Sorry.
No,
1.25 plus 1.25 empty space. It was 5. It was like this. I got...
The beams...
Were 10. Right.
So 5 of it is taken by this wheel.
So you got a hangover of 2...
So you have 2.5 and 2.5 on each side.
I got 2.5 and 2.5 on each side. That's right.
Right.
Which means I've got 15 from side to side.
So if you have 2.5...
I got 5... 5 in the middle and 5 on the side. If you count the hangover on the right and left, you got 20. That's not good. We don't want 20. We want either 15 or 16. And they're saying we know it's 15, which means I got 5 in the middle, and 5 and 5 here. So it doesn't include the outer hangover. Why not? I don't know, because it doesn't. But I still have the extra am in the middle. Where does that come from? So there was a Levi spotter. That's what they say. So am tell you, Tera Havi Kai Ben Levi. A Levi used to have to walk in between the carriages. And if it started to tilt over, the lady would pick it up and keep it falling. The chimishtal, they crush them. When they started to fall, hanaf get lahu, he would do it. Yeah. Or in modern day, in workout terms, they would call it a spotter. You would spot it and make sure, you know, make sure no weights fell off the things. All right. We're up to the Mishnah. A whole brand new Mishnah, brand new idea. Matanitin chuliyat abor vasela shehin gvohin asara v'rachva arba'a. You guys have a place, by the way? You're okay? Hanotel mehem vahanotein al gaban chayev pachot mekein patzer. Very straightforward, seemingly. The chulia of the boar, now the chulia are the walls of the boar. What you would do is, when you dig a boar, you have to put the dirt someplace. What would they do? They'd leave the dirt in a mound around the boar. A boar, by the way, is a cistern. That's the difference between a boar and a be'er. A be'er is a well, which means the water is fed from the ground, and a boar is a cistern, which means the water is fed from the skies. That's correct. Today we use a bore for any kind of ditch that you dug, but the reason why they dug ditches back then was to store water in them, generally speaking. So chuliyat abor v'asela shein gvohin. So the chuliyat abor was the dirt space. So as you were digging up the 10 tefachim of dirt, where would you put the 10 tefachim of dirt? You would put it around the chuliyat. So essentially, can you match this? You have this cistern, and around it is a wall of dirt. So in that case, or a rock, which is 10 tefachim and 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, anotel al gaban chayev. If you put it on top of this chulia, or you put it on top of the sela, you're chayev. If you put it below, and if it's less than that, you're pater. Why? Because it's reshut hayachid. You follow? If I have a rock that's 10 tefachim high by 4 tefachim wide, that's reshut hayachid. So if I take something and put it on it, or if I take something off of it, I've just moved from reshut hayachid to reshut harabin. And the same thing with chulia. The Gemara then asks the obvious question. Hold on a second. What's the difference between a sela and a chuliyat abor? A chuliyat abor is a wall space, 10 high, 4 wide. And a rock is a wall space, 10 high, 4 wide. It's the same thing. If you wanted to teach me, I could learn from a bor itself, I could learn something interesting. What could I learn from the boar itself? I'm extracting from a hollow space. Do you follow what I'm saying? If you want to think of it that way, think of a boar as an anti-rock. Just like a rock comes out of the ground 10 by 4, a boar goes into the ground 10 by 4, but in either case it creates a Rishud HaYachid. One's a real Rishud HaYachid, and one's an anti-Rishud HaYachid, if you want to think of it that way. Do you follow? That would be a Chiddush. Because it's a chiddush to tell me that something that goes into the ground 10 by 4 is also Rishud HaYachid, and I'm in trouble with it. But what are you telling me, a chuliyat abor? What's the difference between a chuliyat abor and a sela? It's the same thing. They're both heights. They're both things. What do I care whether it's made out of styrofoam? What do I care whether it's made out of potatoes? If it's up 10 and wide by 4, it's a shir yachid. You got a problem. So the Gemara says, "Silei the Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, bor v'chuliat." I'm sorry. The answer. So Messiah the Rabbi Yochanan. So this actually, the Mishnah teaches you something that helps out Rabbi Yochanan's point of view. What's Rabbi Yochanan's point of view? So it says, "Bor v'chuliatam." It starts from Asara. This is wild. If you dig a bore and you put the walls around it, the walls count to the depth of the bore. I'll give you an example. You dig out a bore 5 tfachim and you leave a wall around it 5 tfachim, you might think that if you pull out... Now, here's the trick. Rashi makes a very important thing here, which I don't want to get too much detail to. You might think that if you pull something out of this bore, the bore is only 5 tfachim large. If the bore is only 5 tfachim large, it's not a shura yachid. Therefore, you're not in trouble. No, 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 no. If you leave a chuliyah around the bore, that chuliyah bore is considered as if it's part of the bore itself, making the walls of the bore 10. You have to imagine if the whole thing is sunken into the earth. Why? Because essentially, if you think about it, you got a flat earth space. So if I dig down 5, I got nothing. But what you've done is you've created this kind of thing, you see, because you created a chuliyah. Now the walls of the chuliyah are 5 tfachim to where the old surface of the earth was, and now you got another 5 below the surface of the earth. You've just made walls that are 10, even though each by itself doesn't have enough. Rashi does not say, however, you put something on the walls of the chuliyah, that's still only 5 tfachim. That is, you add the walls of the chuliyah to the bore, you don't add the walls of the bore to the chuliyah. And this is only from extracting from a cella or an anti-rock, if you will. So Tani Nami Haku, also learn like this, Bor B'Shut HaRabim, Amukah Yud V'Rachva Arba'ah. If I got a well, or not a well, a cistern in the ground, which is 10 by 4, Eimim Malin Heimena, we're on the next page, Eimim Malin Heimena, you don't fill it up, Ve'im Kein Asula Mechitz, Elim Kein Asula Mechitz Yud Gvo Yud Tfachim, unless you make a Mechitz around it, which means, if it's 10 Tfachim, I got myself a Rishud HaYachid, I'm not allowed to pull water out of it. Unless you make a wall around it, if I make a wall around it, then essentially I've created a Shura Yachid space. Think about building a house around a well. I could do that. You follow? So the Ein Shotim Heimena. Not only that, you're not allowed to drink. I'm not allowed to dip a cup into a cistern and drink from it on Shabbat. Why? Because the minute that I pull out the cup, even if I use my hands, I'm moving something from Rishud HaYachid, Rishud HaRabim. Elim Kein Echnisla Rosho Berubo Bebor Bechuliyat HaMitzdar from Basara. Unless I stick most of my body and head it to it. So if I'm like, if I stick my body into the, like I'm dangling from the top of the cistern and I'm drinking like that, so then I'm okay. And by the way, Chuliyatai includes 10. So that brings the point that essentially the earth space that you created around the mouth of the bore counts as a new earth space. That counts as sea level, if you will. Yeah, a new level. The Gemara says, "Bayimine Rav Mordechai Mirav." I got a question. Amud Brishud Aram Gvo Yud Rachav Yud. Rachav Dara. So I got a classic, I got a amud, I got a pillar, 10 by 4, in Rishud HaYachid, in Rishud HaRabim, which means it makes Rishud HaYachid on the top of it. V'zarach v'nacha al gavav ma'u. And now I take a baseball or something, and I throw it on the top of the pillar. Mi amrino, let's assume that it sticks, of course. Mi amrino hari akir b'isr hari anachav isr. Do I say, listen, I lifted up, when I threw this ball, when I chucked it, I was standing in Rishud HaRabim, so I did an akira from Rishud HaRabim. And then when it landed on the Amud, it landed in Rishud HaYachid, because it's 10 by 4. So then, of course, I am Chayav. Oh, Dilma, or maybe, Kevin de Makam Ptur Ka'ati Lo. Since it went through a Makam Ptur, it's not a problem. Watch the Makam Ptur. This is where the Makam Ptur is. If I chuck it from here, I'm in Rishud HaRabim. Now it goes, sails over the pillar. Once it sails over the pillar, it's in the airspace right here, but it's over 10 Tfachim. Over 10 Tfachim, it's in the Makam Ptur. That's a Makom Ptur. And therefore, when it lands on it, it's going through an intermediary space of a Makom Ptur. I got no problems. You follow? That's because I chucked it, it went through this Ptur space. So maybe I'm okay. So Gemara said, Amalei Matzitini, that's our Mishnah. Atta Shaila L'Rav Yosef. So then he said, what does that mean? I'm explaining what that means. Our Mishnah, go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if you put something on a rock that's 10 by 4, that means that you're Aser. And if you take something off, that means that you're Aser. Now, by the way, reading the Mishnah simplistically, we could have assumed that just meant to place. But apparently it assumes that means to place or to throw. Otherwise, the Mishnah doesn't support, otherwise the Mishnah doesn't answer anything. So Rabbi Yochanan wasn't happy with the answer, I guess. You know that the whole thing where they say if you ask a rabbi a question, you don't get an answer you like, you're not allowed to go to another rabbi? I guess Rabbi Yochanan didn't know that, because Amalei Matnitinhi. So Rabbi says to Rav Mordechai, he says, it's a Mishnah, of course it's Aser. So go at the shiloh of the Rav Yosef. So he goes and asks the question of Rav Yosef. Same question. So he goes, Amalei Matriti, it's a Mishnah. So at the shiloh Rabbis. Then he goes for third opinion. He is not happy with the second opinion. He wants a third opinion. Amalei Matriti, it's a Mishnah. So Amalehu, he says to them, Kulchu Baruka de Hadai Tzvita. You're all spinning in the same direction. Which means he doesn't agree with any of them. He thinks that they're all colluding together to get exactly the same answer because he thinks they're all wrong. Don't you think that it's usher? Look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says if you put on a rock that's 10 by 10 and you take out a sister that's 10 by 4, you're usher. So the Gemara says, including throw. He doesn't say maybe it's not throw. He says, including throw. He says, machat. Oh, he says, no good. Because our Mishnah may have been talking about a machat. Why? What's a machat? A machat is so thin that it never goes into the makom p'tur area. Think about it like this. Instead of going like this, like I'm throwing a baseball on top and it creates its own makom p'tur, 10 quads, I throw a machat, which is this little tiny needle. So the needle sails up and it stays in the, it's still sort of, this is 10 by 4, do you follow? Exactly 10 by 4. If it was 10.1 by 4, I'd be in a makom p'tur. But the needle apparently is being measured by a zero height, and therefore it sort of sails under the makom p'tur and goes directly from the Shura Rabim to Shura Yachid. The Gemara then asks, it says the obvious thing, how could you say the mission is only talking about a machat? Even if it was talking about a machat, Eshar Delo Midalia Porta, it's still got a width. Once it has a width and I chuck it up onto the Amod, it's still above 10 Tzvachim. It's above 10 Tzvachim, it would be putter. So maybe the Mishnah has to be talking about your case also, because even if the Mishnah is talking about a machat, it still says you're usher, and there's no way, you can't throw anything that doesn't have some height. And since you can't throw anything that doesn't have some height, it must be that as you throw from a Rashud HaRabim into a Makom Tur, landing on a Rashud HaYachid, it must be that it's usher, whether it's a needle or not. So then Mordechai says, not so simple. No. I'm telling you, there's a situation where it won't sail above the 10, where in the case where there's a morsha is like a little like ledge, o de ramya b'charitza, it goes in a little thing, which means essentially it gets stuck like right at the 10th tefachim level, the machat. Which means that according, by the way, what Mordechai is doing is he's taking the Mishnah and he's defining incredibly narrowly. You follow? The Mishnah, which says Yechayev, is only talking about a case where you throw a needle and it manages to slide under the radar. It's like one of those jet airplanes that's riding under the radar. It slides under the Makom P'tur radar. However, in Rav Mordechai's opinion, his opinion is if you throw anything otherwise, that would sail through the Makom P'tur as an intermediary before it lands on this Amod, and therefore it would be Mutter, which means he really narrowly defines the Mishnah's case. Whether he's right or not, the Gemara doesn't seem to say. Amar Rav Meisha. So now we have a Rav Meisha. So by Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan asked a question. Kotel b'shul ha'rabim gvol yod v'eino rachav arba. I got a kotel which is 10 high. This is a very interesting case. It's 10 high and it's not wide by 4. What does that mean? That if it was standing by itself, it would not be considered Rashud HaYachid. You follow? It would just be nothing. It would be part of the Rashud HaRabim. Umukaf the Carmeli v'asa Rashud HaYachid, but I used it as a machitza to surround the Carmeli, and I created a Rashud HaYachid space. Think of it as a pool. Zarek v'nachal gavav, so now I chuck something and I throw it on top of this wall space, which is only 10 by 3. Mahu, mi'amion came in at a rach of da'al imakom p'turhu. Do I say that it's not a Rashud HaYachid because it's only 10 by 3, let's say. And since it's only 10 by 3, it's not a Rashud HaRabim, it's not a Rashud HaYachid, it's makom p'tur and I'm p'tur. O Dilma came in da'al, so Rashud HaYachid, k'man dimali maya. Or maybe since the wall is encasing an area that it created as a Rashud HaYachid, it becomes one with Rashud HaYachid. Do you follow? I'll give you an example. And this could be the answer. Imagine a pool with the thin walls of the pool. A stand-up pool, not an in-ground pool, but an outside pool. The walls are very, very thin. But do I consider the walls standalone? Or do I, since the walls are giving a boundary to the water that's between, do I consider it part of the boundary of the water that's in between? If it's still standalone and it's separate from the area that it is encapsulated, then it's still a makom p'tur, whether it had something in it or whether it didn't have something in it. But if it's become, since it's creative and it creates a Rashud HaYachid in between, maybe because it's small, it becomes one with the Rashud HaYachid. So Gemara says, where was I? The Gemara says, "Amar ula kal b'chomer la'achir mosem chitz la'atzmo lo koshkin." So he says, obviously, if it can make a machitza for something in between, then obviously itself is a machitza. Do you follow? So the answer is yes. If it itself can create a reshuta yachid, then it becomes part of the reshuta yachid as well. The Gemara says, Itmar Nami, a support for the Summer Amar Rav Chia Barashi, Amarav, the Ken Amarav Yitzchak, Amarav Yochanan, Kotel Bashuta Rad. I have a wall. Kavoa Yud Veina Rachabarba. It's 10 by 3. Means a makom tour. Umukal the karmeli vaser reshuta yachid, and I surround a karmeli with it, creating an inner space of reshuta yachid. Hazorik benachal gavav chayev yichayev laachirim osem mechitz laatma lokoshkin. It's an exact repeat, except here they found an actual Tanaic source, which is absolutely the walls. Think of it like this: the peel of an orange is the orange.
Is a part of the orange.
When it comes to mechitzas, if your mechitza creates an inner space, it becomes one with the inner space, and that's the halacha.
The thickness of the wall
becomes, it's as if it's part of the water. Think of it as like a water.
Don't even think of it as a wall anymore.
Think of it as part of the inner space. But I got another question. All kinds of interesting questions when it comes to what makes Rashura Yachid. By the way, it's a good philosophical question coming up, a really wicked one coming up in a second. Bar Rav Yochanan, Bor Tisha. Oh, this is a philosophical one. It's terrific. What if I have a boar which is 9? Va'akar bimenu chulia, I take dirt out of it. Ve'shlim ala asar mahu. Do you see the problem? By the way, we're assuming, by the way, there's no digging. If there was digging, the guy would be over a din on Shabbat. But let's say he just takes a rock out of the bottom of a boar. Now, the boar used to have 9 tefachim, and he took a 1 tefach rock out of it. Now, you see what's going on? At the time he was taking the rock out of the 9 tefachim boar, it wasn't a reshuta yachid. He was still in a reshuta rabim, and therefore there's no iser. But once he takes the rock out, de facto he's created something which is 10 tefachim, which means by the time it's out, he's got himself a reshuta yachid. What's that?
Remember we did this with the
air? No. No, I don't remember. No, I'm sorry. I'm going to keep going though. It's Daf Yomi Shir leaves no room for a lot of pondering. But so it says Akira Chepas Vasiat Mechitza Bahadi Hadadi Kaatu. So think about it. At the same time, I took out the thing I carried. I also created a mechitza. I created a 10x4 space. Shuda Yachid Umechayev. So maybe it should be Chayev. Odil Malom Chayev. Or maybe no. That is, do I look at it as one act? Or do I look at it as one comes before the other? Do you follow? It's like a weird philosophical question. The Im Tim Salomar came with the Lohav Mechitza Asarim Eikar Lom Chayiv. Now, I'm going to play your game. I'm going to tell you that you're going to tell me that it wasn't Mechitza until I got the rock out of there. You follow? It wasn't a Shudar Yachid. But if that's true, look at the opposite case. What's the opposite case? Bor Yud. What if I have a bor, a cistern, which is 10? It's a Shudar Yachid. And I drop into it a 1 tefach rock, which means I've limited the boar to only 9. Do you follow what I'm saying? Which means at the same time, if you're telling me that it only happens afterwards, then what about the other way? What if I take something which is a tefach and put it into a 10 tefach space, reducing it to 9 tefachim? So which came first, the chicken or the egg? Do you follow? Did I wipe out my chitza and then put it in, or did I put it in and then wipe out my chitza? Or, because it's really instantaneous, and by the way, it's not necessarily a taste, because you could say that there's a width to the rock. Do you follow? What?
When you throw it.
Yeah, but until it lands, there's no iser.
Right.
And the moment it lands, it becomes one with the, remember?
The other case, the minute you take the rock off, have 10.
The moment.
You don't have to be out. The moment you take the rock off.
No, I got to remove.
Have 10?
You know, because I think it's like calculus. You have to remove it from the entire hollow space in the middle. Otherwise, it's still in the middle. Let's say it's in the middle. Then all I have is I got 1 to 4, and then I got 6 to 10. But I'm missing a tefach in the middle, so it's still not 9 tefachim. Maybe, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, this is an interesting case. So, it's very philosophical. You know, which comes first when you're doing two things which happen instantaneously? You know, which one do you look at first? So the Gemara says, "Tipshalei may di day." So look, Rav Yochanan's asked this question. Rav Yochanan said something which should enlighten the whole issue. What did Rav Yochanan say? It's not a zorech arba amo pekotel. I throw, let's say, a ball at a wall, four amon, or should a robin. It bangs against the wall. L'mala me'asar tefachim, and it's above 10 tefachim. Kizorek ba'avir, it's like I'm throwing in the air. which means it's putter because I'm throwing it in the air. L'mata me'asara kizorik baris. But if it's under 10, then it's like I'm throwing, rolling it on the ground. And then I was over Rishud HaRabim and I was asar. There's no Rishud HaYachid here. There's only Rishud HaRabim. It's 4 amot Rishud HaRabim. Vazorik baris gaboa me'amot. Vazorik baris arba amot chayim. And somebody, you should know that somebody chucks something which is 4 tfachim or less. Sorry, 10 tfachim or less. If somebody rolls on the ground, it's chayim. The Gemara says, Vahavina be. We asked a question on that. Vahalo nach. It never came to rest. What that means, it bounced off the wall and came right back to you. Vamrav Yochanan, you follow what's going on? Now, if it bounces right back to you, it never went 10 tfachim. It never went all the tfachim. Why? I bounced off the wall. It was still in the 10 tfachim space. It came down. It rolled back to me. It never went 10 amot. It's right back at my feet, which means the total distance is zero or less than, or not 10 tfachim, less than 4 amot. Do you follow what's going? Because I did it until it came to a rest. There's no iser. But by the time it came to a rest, it was already right back at me. And what does Rav Yochanan say? Rav Yochanan says bedvela shmeina shaninu. Oh, you're right. But what are we talking about? We're talking about a case of a sticky group of figs. What that means is I threw it at the wall. It stuck to the wall, and because it stuck to the wall, it never returned to me, which is it had a full travel. V'amai, hakam amai darba amot. What do I care if it's less than 4 amot? That is, that proves to you that, oh, I'm sorry, hakam amai darba amot. Watch, Rav Yochanan's solution was it was a sticky figs. But if it was sticky figs, here, watch the idea. Here's the wall. This is 4 amot away. Here are the figs. If I throw the sticky figs to it, okay, it didn't bounce back. I don't have the bounce back problem. But you know what? The space now between me and the sticky figs is not 10, it's not 4 amot. It's 4 amot minus the width of the sticky figs. Do you follow? Which means, it's true I hit it 4 amot on this side of the sticky figs. But on this side of the sticky figs, it was only a throw of 3.9. So it's the same issue. So why is Rav Yochanan ask the question? Obviously, Rav Yochanan says, and Rav Yochanan said, chayev. So obviously, Rav Yochanan does not think that the width of this space is any concern whatsoever. The trick is that the far side hit the wall, and I'm not sure. What do I care about what finally happened? The Rav says, can't prove anything from there. Hatam bo'mevata, hacham mevatalei. No, by there, I wanted the figs back. Loma Vatala, he wants the figs back. Since you want the figs back, you can't treat the figs as part of the wall to reduce the space under 4 amot. But here, I put the rock in there because I wanted the rock in there. I specifically intended to create a bore of less than 10 tfachim, and therefore, since I was Mavatala the bore, it becomes one with the bore, and then maybe Rav Yochanan would say it's okay. And there's no answer here, by the way. I assume he would think it's mutter. I assume he thinks it's mutter, which is interesting. Why you rabba? Zorek daf and achal yutetot ma'u, which is very interesting. I've got your teidot. Here, look, like this. Thin poles, which are on makom p'tur. I take a board, which is 4 tefachim wide, and I throw it and land on top of it, creating an instant reshul yachid. You follow? The minute if I took a little nothing and threw it on it, it would have been a makom p'tur. But when I chucked and I created reshul yachid at the same time that the board landed. You follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, and the question is, so was I over something? I was not. The minute it landed, there was nothing there. But after, the second after it landed, there was something there. So the Gemara says, keep it by Eli the Rabbah. When is Rabbah asking? Sorry. My come to by Eli. What exactly is the question? It's the same question as he asked before. How did Rabbi Yochanan? What are you going to ask the same silly question he asked me before? Go look at Rabbi Yochanan's statement. If I create instant, should I rob him? So it's the same thing. Go look at the previous Gemara. So the Gemara says, look, come by Eli the Rabbah. I'll tell you what he's talking about. Is it 10-2 that we have to stop? Kare the kagon de zorek daf chifetz al gabav. You know what it was? I threw a board and on top of it was a coin. You follow? That's the question. So my kevan de bahadavi adai kato, maybe they all landed at the same time, which means I created a reshut yachid when the board landed. But the coin landed at the same moment that the board landed, and therefore it acts at the same time. You see what's going on? If I have a situation like this, I don't know, maybe we should come to between Mincha and I, if I know what you want to do, because I'm not going to be able to finish. If I have a situation like this and I throw a coin on it, it's definitely Asur. It's a Shura Rabbi. According to Rabbi Yochanan, our best guess was if I took a board and threw it on this, nothing happens because I create the Shura Yachid at the same time that I throw the board. But what if I have a coin, something on top of it that lands at the same time? Do I say it's instantaneous? Or do I say this really lands before this, and therefore first I create a Shudar Yachid, and then I create this? That's what the Gemara says. Odilma came and delo efshar delo midli porta hadanach. Or maybe, because the other one's going to bounce a little, sheer momentum, it's going to go boing, 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 you know. You can't say one is exactly, it's got it's a millisecond afterwards. Kasiyat mechitza, first I made a shudah yachid, v'hana chaycha tzname, and then afterwards I put down a coin. So Gemara says, teku, I don't know what the answer is. And then the Gemara, I prepared a little bit more that goes into the next issue, which is essentially on the same issue. Should we come back to Mincha? It's not going to take... So we'll come back during Mincha, we'll learn a few more lines, but there's not much left.